All right, let's jump right in. Today we're looking at the story of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River, right? Into the Promised Land, finally.
Yeah, big moment.
Huge. And we've got this lecture from a Bible scholar, really dives deep into Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And I got to say, there were some things in there that I just totally missed before.
Yeah. What kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, just like little details, you know, that make the whole story come alive. Like, did you ever think about just how long they were actually camped out on that east bank of the Jordan, just waiting across?
I never really thought about it.
Right. It's like our scholar points out there's actually some debate about it, you know? Like, some people think it was just a few days, others say weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, that waiting time, it kind of adds to the whole drama of the story, doesn't it?
Totally. It makes you wonder, what were they doing during that time?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't just, you know, twiddling their thumbs, right?
You know, that's a good point. The scholar talks about the theme of holiness being super important throughout the book of Joshua. And I think that waiting period, it was probably a time for them to prepare themselves spiritually, like get right with God before they entered the Promised Land.
Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah. It's like they're about to step into this incredible new chapter, but first, they need to make sure they're in the right place spiritually.
Exactly.
And there are all these specific instructions about, like, maintaining a distance from the Ark of the Covenant. Like, this super sacred object, you know? And then there's the whole thing about consecrating themselves, purifying themselves before crossing.
Yeah. It's almost like they're about to enter into this holy space, and they need to be cleansed, made ready.
Yeah. Like getting ready for some big encounter with God.
Totally. And that makes me think about the part where God promises Joshua, you know? That he'll exalt him in the eyes of all Israel, just like he did with Moses.
Oh, right. That's in chapter 3, I think.
Yeah. But it's not really fulfilled until chapter 4, after they've crossed the river. It's like the crossing itself is part of how Joshua is elevated.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like it's not just about getting to the other side. It's about how they get there and what that says about God's power.
Right. The scholar talks about knowing as a big theme in the story. And I think this is a great example. The Israelites are going to know for sure that God is with Joshua after they see what happens at the Jordan.
It's the proof kind of thing, right? Like seeing is believing.
Exactly. And think about the enemies they're about to face, too. I mean, this list of nations, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites.
It sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it? Kind of scary.
It's like something straight out of Game of Thrones. You know, all these different factions, and it makes the whole thing feel super epic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And speaking of epic, there's this whole thing about the Hittites. Our scholar brought up how there was this powerful Hittite empire around the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so it makes you wonder, are we talking about the same Hittites here? Like, what's the connection between this biblical story and actual history?
Whoa, that's a cool thought. It's like suddenly the story feels even more real.
Right. It's not just some ancient myth. It's connected to the real world.
Exactly. And then there's the whole thing about how many Israelites there actually were, you know?
Like, yeah.
Some people think there were millions of them. Right. But the scholar suggests it might have been way, way smaller.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. He was saying maybe just a few thousand.
Which would make their victory even more insane, right? Like this small group taking on these powerful empires.
Totally. It completely changes how you see the whole story. It's like, it wasn't about their numbers or their military might. It was about something else.
Yeah. It was about God working through them, you know?
And that reminds me of that part from Deuteronomy, where Moses warns the Israelites about getting too big for their britches.
Oh, yeah. About boasting about their righteousness.
Yes. He basically says, God's driving out the Canaanites because they're wicked, not because the Israelites are so awesome.
Right. It's like, don't go thinking, this is all about you being so great, Israelites. It's about God's justice and his plan.
Yeah, it definitely adds a layer of complexity, doesn't it? It's not just a simple good guys versus bad guys situation.
Yeah, it makes you think.
For sure. And then we get to the actual crossing. I love how the scholar describes the Jordan River at flood stage. Like, this isn't just some little creek they're hopping over. This is a raging torrent.
Oh, yeah, the time of harvest, right?
Yeah.
When the water would have been at its highest.
Exactly. And he even breaks down all the different Hebrew verbs that are used to describe the water stopping. Like stood up, rose up, were cut off, stopped. It's like he's giving us this slow motion replay of the miracle.
That's so cool. It really helps you picture it, you know, the water just piling up, creating this wall on either side. And then they walk right through on dry ground.
And guess what? It's the same Hebrew word that's used to describe the Red Sea parting.
Whoa, no way.
Yeah. It's like the author is deliberately connecting these two events. Like, this is a new exodus, a new liberation for God's people.
That's a really cool connection. It's a new beginning, a fresh start. And then to commemorate it, they set up those 12 stones, right?
The memorial.
Yeah. It's not an altar for sacrifice or anything. It's specifically meant to be a reminder for future generations. Like, hey, this is what God did for us.
I love that. It's a physical reminder of the miracle.
Yeah.
And the wording is so specific too, right? It's meant to remind people that the waters were cut off. It's all about the way God made it happen, his power.
It's so visual, you know? You can just imagine a kid centuries later seeing those stones and being like, what's that all about? And then they get to hear this incredible story.
I love that image of passing down the story, keeping the memory alive.
Exactly. It's about making sure each generation remembers and understands what God has done and learns to trust in him.
So it's more than just a monument. It's a way of passing on their faith.
Totally. And here's the thing. The scholar points out that God had two specific reasons for doing this miracle.
Oh, interesting. Okay, lay them on me.
Well, first, he wanted to show off his power to all the nations around them. Like, it was a big look what I can do moment.
Yeah, a power move for sure. And I bet it worked because they were all terrified, weren't they?
Totally. Remember what Rahab said back in chapter 2? About how everyone in Canaan was freaking out because of what God did to the Egyptians. This is like 10 times that. It's a clear message. Don't mess with the God of Israel.
It's like this big cosmic display of you do not want to be on my bad side.
Exactly. But there's another reason too.
Okay, what's the other one?
God also wanted to strengthen the faith of his own people, you know, to remind them that he's the God who delivers, the God who makes a way when there seems to be no way.
It's like he's saying, hey, remember the Red Sea? Well, check this out.
Right. I'm still in the miracle business.
And that message, it's not just for the Israelites, right? It's for us, too. Like, when we're facing our own Jordans in life, those big obstacles that seem impossible, we can remember this story and be encouraged.
Totally. God is with us, and he can do incredible things. We just have to trust him.
So they cross this raging river. The enemies are terrified. Everything seems to be going their way. But is it really that easy? I mean, they still have to conquer this whole land, right?
You're right. This is just the beginning. There's a lot more to come. But that's a story for another time.
Oh, man. Cliffhanger. All right. Well, we'll have to pick this up again next time.
Definitely. Stay tuned.
We're back. Wow. And still thinking about that Jordan River crossing, you know?
Yeah. It's wild.
Totally wild. And as we're moving into chapter 4 here, I kind of noticed like a pause in the action, you know?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like the author wants to make sure we really get what just went down.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's like, hold up, let me tell you something.
Right. Like, this wasn't just some random river crossing. This was a full-on God moment, you know?
Absolutely. And that's where those 12 stones come in, right? To make sure nobody forgets.
Those stones, yeah. So God tells Joshua, get 12 guys, one from each tribe, right? Have them grab a stone from the riverbed, you know, where they were just walking. Set them up as a reminder.
Like a big old God was here sign.
That's it. But it's more than that even, right? It's not just any pile of rocks, the scholar points out. The wording they use to describe the monument, it's super specific. It's all about remembering that the waters were cut off. Get it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, it's not about the stones themselves. It's about what they represent.
Right. Know? That visual, it's huge.
You imagine, like, centuries later, some kid sees these stones and asks, what's the deal with those? And bam, they get to hear this epic story about how God parted the waters for their ancestors.
That's awesome. It's like keeping the story alive, passing it down.
It is. It's all about remembering God's faithfulness, right? So we don't forget and start thinking we can handle things on our own.
We got to give credit where credit is due, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And speaking of giving credit, the scholar makes it clear God had two big reasons for doing this miracle.
Two reasons. Okay, I'm listening.
Number one, he wanted to show off to all the other nations, you know? It's like a big ol' this is who I am kind of move.
Show him who's boss.
Exactly. You know, kind of like how Rahab was saying everybody in Canaan was already scared of God because of what happened to the Egyptians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that part.
Well, this is like the next level. It's like God saying, here's a little taste of what I can do, so y'all better think twice before messing with my people.
That's intense. All right, so what's the other reason?
Just as important, God also wanted to strengthen the faith of his own people, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Like, they'd seen him do amazing things before, right?
Yeah.
But it's easy to forget, you know? Life happens.
Totally. out of sight, out of mind.
Right. So God's like, hold on, let me remind you who you're dealing with here. Remember the Red Sea? Well, check this out.
He's keeping it fresh.
Exactly. And that's a message for us too, isn't it? When we're going through tough times, facing our own Jordans, it's so easy to forget what God has done for us in the past.
It really is. It's like you get so focused on the problem in front of you, you can't see the bigger picture.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to remember those times when God came through for us, you know, to hold on to those stories, those moments of his faithfulness.
Yeah. It's like they give us hope for the future.
Totally. Because if God did it before, he can do it again, right?
Absolutely. So we've got this crazy miracle. The Israelites across the Jordan. The enemy is freaking out. It's all good, right?
Well, not so fast. I mean, they're in the promised land. Yeah. But they haven't actually conquered it yet, you know?
Oh, right. It's just the beginning.
Exactly. And the way the scholar tells it, things are about to get a lot more complicated. There's going to be battles and betrayals and, well, you'll just have to wait and see.
Man, another cliffhanger. Okay, well, we'll definitely be back to unpack all that in the next
video. You got it.
Man, you know what I keep thinking about? Those stones.
Oh, yeah, those stones are something else, aren't they?
It's such a, like, simple thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's, like, so powerful at the same time.
It is. It really speaks to, like, this whole idea of remembering what God has done, you know? Which is something that comes up a lot in Joshua.
Yeah, totally. And it kind of makes me think about how easy it is to, like, forget those moments when God shows up for us, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Life gets crazy, you're busy, and it's like, you just kind of forget about all those times when God totally came through.
Exactly. And it's like, faith is about remembering too, isn't it? Not just believing.
It is, big time. It's like, we got to actively cultivate that remembrance, you know? Make it a habit to look back and recognize what God has done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's so easy to just get caught up in, like, the day-to-day stuff and not even realize how God is working in our lives.
Totally. And that makes me wonder, like, what are our memorial stones?
Yeah.
You know, what are the things that help us remember God's faithfulness in our own lives?
That's a good question. What do we do to kind of keep those memories alive?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Maybe it's journaling or sharing our stories with people, or even just taking some time to reflect on how far we've come.
Those are all good ones. I think, like, one of the biggest takeaways from this whole deep dive is that God is still in the miracle business. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, he's still doing the impossible all the time. But sometimes we're so focused on the obstacle in front of us, we miss the miracle that's happening right around us.
That's so true. It's like, we get so hung up on the how that we forget about the who, you know.
Exactly. And the Israelites, they had those stones, right? As this physical reminder of what God had done for them.
Yeah, every time they looked at those stones, it was like, bam, instant reminder of God's power.
And that's what we need, right? Ways to remember to kind of cultivate that sense of awe and wonder so that even when we're facing our own Jordans, we can approach them with faith and confidence.
So next time we're feeling overwhelmed by a problem, we can just remember those Israelites standing on the bank of that river, you know, with water raging all around them and how God showed up and made a way for them.
Exactly. He can do the same for us.
He can. But, you know, it's important to remember that, like, their journey didn't end at the Jordan, did it?
Nope. Crossing the river was just the beginning.
Right. They still had a ton of work to do, a whole land to conquer, new challenges to face.
And it's like that for us, too. You know, the Christian life, it's not always easy.
It's not. There's always going to be another step, another obstacle.
But we can face those things knowing that the same God who parted the waters for the Israelites, he's walking with us every step of the way.
That's such a good reminder. And you know what? I think that's a perfect place to wrap things up.
I think so, too.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. And until next time, keep your eyes peeled for those everyday miracles, because they're all around us.
They are.